Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of praying together, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. Open the Word, make it real to us, cause us, our Father, to rest upon it. For we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation? We are studying together the sixth chapter, in which the seven-sealed book is being opened. The last time we were with you, we noticed the opening of the sixth seal, when tremendous judgment fell upon the earth during the tribulation period. Or, since actually we are thinking about a time that is yet future, a time that is yet to come, we should say, tremendous judgment will fall upon the earth during the tribulation period. Because judgment seems a strange work to God, because a misconceived idea about God in the minds of a great many people would lead them to think that God is only love, that he never visits in judgment, we were examining some facts in the Word of God which prove that the condition of man affects the condition of the earth. The moral condition of man brings about judgment upon the earth itself. We had given you some illustrations. We were ready to think with you about another when our time ran out the last time we were together. So today, we would like to think with you about another reason, or perhaps more than one, that is significant in line with what I have suggested to you, that what is happening here under the sixth seal has happened before. If God can do it once, God can do it again. We make mention of this because so often in the book of the Revelation, what is discovered is referred to as mere symbolism, nothing that God would really do. We're suggesting to you, God did it once. God can do it again. If you will keep a marker in Revelation chapter 6 and turn with me to Exodus chapter 10, we'll have another illustration. If you are familiar with your Bibles, you know the portion of the Word of God to which we are going to turn. It describes the plagues that God sent upon the land of Egypt because Egypt would not let Israel go. I have suggested to you before, and I would reemphasize here, that I do not know anybody but who, if he believes the Bible, believes that the plagues that came upon the land of Egypt were literal. Nobody ever tries to spiritualize them. Nobody ever tries to talk them out of existence. If it happened once, I repeat, it can happen again. Notice in Exodus chapter 10, verse 21, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even the darkness which may be felt. Well, that's an expressive term, isn't it? Darkness which may be felt. Sometimes we say that darkness is so thick you could cut it with a knife. This is darkness so real you can feel it. As Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days, they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel, now notice, by way of contrast, had light in their dwellings. If God could cause darkness to come upon the land of Egypt, so thick you could feel it, and cause it to last 3 whole days, why should we doubt that during the tribulation the moon and the sun will be affected and darkness will cover the earth? We shouldn't have any doubt about it at all. You are familiar with the crucifixion story of the Lord Jesus Christ. People who believe the Bible don't try to spiritualize the death of Christ. They believe that he died literally, on a literal cross, and they believe that everything that happened in relation to the crucifixion was a literal thing. Sometime when you have time, refresh your minds in chapter 27 of the Gospel of Matthew and remember that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness covered the earth. It was real. And so I would suggest to you that the reason we can accept this as a very literal thing is that if it has happened once, it can happen again. Now, the third reason why you can be sure that it is an absolutely literal thing that we are talking about is that this is not the only place in which the same events are prophesied. You know, people are afraid of the book of the Revelation. They tell you that you shouldn't go beyond the fourth chapter, because if you do, you will be lost in a maze of figures and symbols that will leave you utterly confused. This simply isn't true. But in case there be some who think that, let us face the fact that these very things which the Spirit of God says are going to occur in the sixth seal of the book of the Revelation, the Spirit of God has laid upon the hearts of other men to declare as actually happening the same things that are happening here. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6, where we read, "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty." Now wait just a moment. The day of the Lord is another term for the tribulation. The day of the Lord is another term for the term of God's judgment upon the earth. So we know immediately that we are reading about the same period of time. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed at one another. Their faces shall be as flames. Does that sound like people who hid in dens and cried for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them? Well, look at verse 9. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it." Listen closely. "For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." You see, Isaiah, a pretty reputable fellow, believed exactly the same thing that John believed in the book of the Revelation. Again, in the book of Isaiah, turn with me to chapter 34, and notice the same message presented. "Come near, ye nations, to hear. Hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, he hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood." Notice verse 4. "And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved." That's where the meteors come from, you know. "And the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree." You see, Isaiah is talking about the very same thing. Perhaps a more familiar passage of Scripture related to this day, and more familiar because it's quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost. And it's quoted by people from time to time for various reasons. A passage found in the book of Joel. So may I suggest that you turn to the book of Joel and notice this passage that should settle in your minds once and for all whether we are talking about a literal thing or whether we are talking about something symbolic. Because of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and the wonder of men in relation to it. Peter explained it in the words of Joel when he said, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." He said what happened on the day of Pentecost was a partial fulfillment of this passage in the book of Joel, but as we are reading from the book of Joel itself, we go a bit further and we read, "I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. The physical part of Joel has not yet been fulfilled. It will be. And it, along with all of the other passages of Scripture which we have read in your hearing today, should emphasize to you that when the sixth seal in the book of the Revelation is open, literal judgment is going to be poured out upon the earth that will indeed cause men to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them, and should cause every one of us to thank God for the delivering power of Christ.